This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Detroit has collapsed into ruin, which means a man named Kelly can earn a living as a scrapper in an area called the Zone, picking through the thousands of abandoned buildings, stealing scrap metal and selling it to salvage yards. That's the setting for Scrapper. It's the second novel from Michigan native Matt Bell. The New York Times describes Scrapper as equal parts dystopian novel, psychological thriller, and literary fiction. Matt Bell is taught at Northern Michigan University. These days, he teaches creative writing at Arizona State University. Matt Bell, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Good to have you with us. We just heard the New York Times reviewer's description of your novel. How do you describe Scrapper?
Yeah, I like that description a lot. I think, you know, for me, it starts off talking about, you know, taking place in contemporary Detroit, that it begins in the 100,000 abandoned buildings that exist in Detroit today, and in the illegal metal scrapping industry that begins there. I think of it as a sort of detective novel at some point, mm-hmm. Or at least that's an element of it. What sort of sets the plot in motion is that Kelly, while he's illegally scrapping for metal, discovers a young boy who's been kidnapped in one of the houses he's in, and then tries to solve that crime. And so I think of it that way, too. I am just as interested sort of in that part of it as I am in sort of like the bigger social sort of issues of it. But it was very much an attempt to write something that more directly responded to the sort of politics and situation of Michigan after living there my whole life.
Yeah. Now, I get the sense that Scrapper is set kind of in the future, or am I wrong? Is it supposed to be like 2015, or are we in the quasi-future?
It's, you know, it's interesting because I think almost everyone who reads it as this like slightly near future. I think it's been described in some reviews as a science fiction novel or a speculative novel.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's partly the way it's rendered. Like the book makes it seem maybe more mysterious. But with the exception of certain, like, the details of the crime that Kelly uncovers and mm-hmm. sort of his personal journey, a lot of what happens in the book is based really specifically in real places. The buildings that he goes into in the early parts of the book when he's scrapping the churches and the schools were all based on places that I went when I was researching the book in these empty, historically important places in Detroit. A lot of the other crimes that circle around the main crime of the book happened in Detroit in the last 5 or 6 years. So it's a weird mix. I think the way the book is written gives it this sort of heightened, mythic, dystopian sort of feel. But, you know, I mean, there's a part where he's watching President Obama on television, you know, and I think it's, to me, clearly meant to be President Obama. So it's interesting. I think that mix feels really good to me. And I think it's interesting that readers, in some ways, have sort of like refused to accept that it's contemporary Detroit, which says something about maybe the way what we don't want to see or what we don't want to have to sort of acknowledge. But that said, it's also a Detroit that's sort of heightened in different ways. And Kelly doesn't see a lot of the good stuff happening in Detroit. But it's been an interesting reading.
Well, before we talk about Kelly, I'd love if you could read us an excerpt from Scrapper. And it's pretty much where we meet your protagonist. We meet the central character of Kelly. So if you could share some of your book with us, we'd love it.
I'd be glad to. Thanks so much. When Kelly saved the boy, he was not yet again living any real life, just wallowing in the aftermath of terrible air. Later, he would say he lived that year by his hands and by his back and by his shoulders and his wrists and his legs and his knees. The year of the body, he'd say, showing his open fists, the thick white blistering of his calluses. And forget the head, never mind the heart. After the collapse began, he'd barely thought, barely spoken, tried for a time to slow his thoughts to silence, or else to bury them with effort, exhaustion. He'd worked past the pains he'd known, found deeper places to lodge a throbbing. But then, in the zone, the incompleteness of every building became an ink blot for the subconscious. Whatever was missing would be supplied. Whenever Kelly entered an uninhabited house, he understood he entered some life he might have lived. How the emptiness of every room pulled him inside out, a furnishing of the self. He opened the front door, and the house ceased its stillness. If it hadn't ever been inert, it wasn't now. No structure was, once it held a human consciousness. In the South, Kelly had worked construction, had seen firsthand how a house unlived in wasn't a house. It was so easy to awaken a place, the way a doorknob awoke a memory, the way the angles of a room recalled other rooms. There were blueprints etched across his memories, and in some houses, those memories activated. the bedrooms of his parents, the bedrooms of his parents' friends, an angle of light like when he laid in as a child, reading a book on birds, the deep dark of a basement, the other dark of an attic, how the fear of the dark hung at the lip of a basement stairs, how it hesitated at the foot of any stairs leading up toward whatever was below or above the house, outside its public space.
That was great. This is Scrapper, the novel by Matt Bell, who is a Michigan native, and this is where we meet this character of Kelly. Tell us a little more about Kelly, Matt.
Yeah, Kelly is born in Michigan, born in a small town north of Detroit. He left Michigan after dropping out of college, spent more than 10 years in the South working construction, and then while he was in the South, he became romantically involved with a woman. Something's happened in that relationship, and he leaves, and he comes back to Michigan, ends up in Detroit, just as the sort of economy's collapsing, and is unable to find work, and ends up working as sort of as this illegal metal scrapper. He was a really interesting character to write for me. I think he's very, very complicated. He has a lot of, I think he's obsessed with the idea of being a good person, of being a good man, and what that means. And, you know, I think the book in some ways gives him a landscape and in a situation in which to try to play out that attempt. But he's very conflicted about sort of his past and whether or not he can actually become this good person that he wants to be.
Yeah, this idea of is redemption possible? And you alluded to the detective element of this when he finds this young boy, Daniel. He's naked and bruised and handcuffed to a bed frame, saves Daniel, which sets up a chain of events. And he does become a hero for a while. But it pulls him into some really, really dark places. And I'm wondering what questions that you wanted to put across and explore through all of that.
Yeah, I think I mean, maybe a couple of different things. I think one of the maybe cultural stories that I think is embedded in like a lot of our narratives and stories we tell and ways we act, individual up to the political, is this idea of redemption through violence. That violence can be redeeming in different ways, which I think is a story that, I mean, it's built into religious things, you know, Christ dying on the cross sets up redemption for everybody, right? I mean, like these really basic story. I don't love that story, and I think that sets us up for bad things. I also just was thinking a lot and studying a lot about like cycles of sort of fear and violence and trauma and violence. And again, I think there's an individual and a political element. And so I think those were two of the things that were at some point, I realized the book could be about those, is maybe more than like I set out to write that, right?
Mm-hmm.
At some point, I saw the potential to talk about those things that I'd been thinking about for a couple years. So I think those are the thematics of the book, at least to some level.
Interesting. Something I did want to ask you, the zone, just exactly what is it and how big is it? And in your mind, as you wrote this, what caused the zone?
Yeah, so Kelly refers to the abandoned part of the city as the zone, which obviously doesn't really map onto like real Detroit in a certain way because it's not as like it's not one thing. But I think so. That's a allusion to the exclusion zone around Pripyat and Chernobyl, which is what they call the area that people weren't allowed to go into. And there was something about that really early on. I think I had that language about the zone in like the first day or two of working on the book. I knew the landscape of the book before I knew Kelly. And so I don't think Kelly had a name until I'd been working on the book for like a month. And so in some ways, that idea of this place where people don't go or aren't allowed to go or don't want to go pushed the book a little bit in a certain direction. And I think there's something to be said about Detroit being an endpoint or a warning point of American capitalism as well. You know, I think Detroit didn't happen in a bubble. Detroit's not, it mostly wasn't caused by people who lived there. It's this combination of sort of racial and social and economic things and the way the auto industry behaved and pulled out of the city. And I think we ignore that sort of at our own peril. So in some ways, there was a chance to maybe make an allusion there. But I do think it estranges things a little bit, makes it a little weird. David Foster Wallace, paraphrasing somebody else, has this thing where he talks about the role of the fiction writer used to be to take the strange, to go out in the world and report on what was out there and make it familiar to the reader. And he said that now everything is familiar, right? We have 24-hour news. You know, I think he's saying this before social media and stuff and reality TV, but we're like inundated with reality. And so now the task maybe is to take something that's familiar and make it strange so that we can see it again. And I think that's the attempt of some of that language, is to take something that is hard to look at or that we don't want to look at and make it weird enough that it attracts our attention, right? And then we don't notice that we're looking at this real thing that we've avoided.
There are signs of hope and signs of recovery
going on
now in post-bankruptcy Detroit. Do you ever envision yourself writing, we'll say, a more hopeful, less ominous story about that where the city is the setting?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to know what future projects will be. I mean, I think even though this book, on one hand, there's no reason to pretend it's not a bleak book in some ways. It's definitely a bleak, difficult book. But I think for me, there's a hope to that. I mean, the reason to write a book about these things, these difficult subjects, you know, the book dealing with violence and crime and trauma and these kind of things, the reason to write about that is not to glorify those things. But I think it's a hope that the world doesn't have to be that way. You know, it's trying to be honest about the world I see, and also by drawing attention to it, by trying to get the reader to sit with it and think about it, that maybe we face the problems we have and we make the world a better place. It took me a long time to write explicitly about Michigan, even though I lived there for a long time. It took me a long time to understand it as a setting for the kind of stories I wanted to write. And I think that identity as sort of a Michigan writer, a person writing about Michigan, feels stronger now than it ever has in my life. But I don't know exactly how that's going to play out from book to book yet.
The book is called Scrapper, and we've been talking with the author, Matt Bell. He will be at the Book Bug in Kalamazoo this Thursday, October 1st, and then he'll be in Detroit on Friday at the Write a House Award Ceremony because he was a judge, and you'll be awarding a house in Detroit to a writer who is going to be sharing those experiences and writing about it. Thank you so much for speaking with us, Matt. It was really good to get to know you. We should also let everyone know you can find out more about Matt's other works and what's going on by going to his website, which is Matt Bell. Thanks so much, Matt.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Support for arts and culture coverage on Stateside comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs and the National Endowment for the Arts.